Heads up, everybody. I'm B. Francis Clark.
I'm Anton Anderson.
And this is Sky is Black, future-facing conversations with experts, innovators, and entrepreneurs of African descent.
Covering the entire Black African diaspora.
Worldwide, baby. Worldwide. Shout out to Issa Calfon. Brother Issa was the winner of the inaugural Dubai Jetpack Race. Go ahead, brother. Mm-hmm. You can follow Brother Issa on social at Issa Calfon. That's ISSAKALFON. And learn more about Gravity Industries, the producer of the Dubai Jetpack Race, at gravity.co.
A shout out to Dr. Tamika P. LeGrand.
Nice.
We're excited to see her come up as the ninth president of Prairie View A&M University.
Yes.
Which is where? In Texas.
Yes.
And you can find out more about her at pvamu.edu.
Nice, nice. Mm-hmm. And shout out to Meme Onwudiwe. Brother Meme is executive vice president of legal and business intelligence at the AI company Evisort. He is also a lecturer at Harvard Law School, where he specializes in technology law and emerging space policy. You can follow Evisort on social at EVISORTAI and learn more at evisort.com. Nice.
Shout out to Raymond Malinga and the entire team at Creatures Animation. They won an Icon Award for their innovative animation for, what's our favorite animated show? Kazazimoto, which we've talked about before. You can find out more about them and all the wonderful work they're doing at creatures.africa, and you can learn more about the Icon Awards, which are amazing ways to learn about new stuff, at theicon.org, and that's theicon.org.
And shout out to Miracle Izuchukwu, who recently became the youngest Black female commercial pilot in the United States at age 24.
Nice.
Go ahead, Miracle. You can follow her on social at pilot.mira, pilot.mira, and look for her everywhere. Sky is Black.
Seriously.
Yes.
And shout out to Vaughn Gething.
Mm-hmm.
He has the distinct honor of being the first African to lead an EU European country. The Zambian-born trade union lawyer became the first minister of Wales. And you can find out more about that at gov.wales.
Go ahead, Brother Vaughn.
Yeah, seriously.
Go ahead, Zambia. And thank you, fellow visionaries, for joining us in the Pure Vibranium Circle. So, we are a global podcast.
That's right.
And so we have to give a shout out to our brothers and sisters in Cape Town and Calgary and Kobe and Kumasi and Natal and Nagda and Napa and Nui and Randers and Rockingham and Rimchi and Rosarito and everywhere the African diaspora is standing strong and moving forward. So today, we will kick off our conversation about the Apple Plus series Foundation. We will continue our outrage against the new Netflix series Good Times. And we'll begin by keeping it real and explaining why you should keep it real too. But first things first, and every day we hustlin', how you doing?
I'm fine. We're just wrapping up lots and lots of spring break.
Mm-hmm.
Our kids' spring breaks don't line up, and so we get a big break. And this is the last day of that. Had a wonderful Easter holiday.
Mm-hmm.
So everything's good.
He is risen indeed. And that actually sort of reminds me of the calamity and the inhumanity and the outright evil that is taking place in Gaza as we speak right now. I mean, you and I are fortunate enough to be able to sit down and have a fun and hopefully fruitful conversation.
Yes.
And yet there are actually men, women, and children who are being intentionally wiped off the planet, or at least wiped off the map. And so our prayers continue to be for all the folks on both sides of the struggle.
Yep.
In Gaza. We pray for peace. We
peace.
Pray for peace.
Peace.
We pray for peace. And we also want to mention the passing of our brother Lou Gossett,
yes,
Jr. He was a great actor and, from all reports, an even better man.
Yeah, I hear he was a great guy.
He won the Best Supporting Actor Oscar in 1983 for his role in An Officer and a Gentleman. He also won an Emmy for his work in the 1977 TV series Roots. Mm-hmm. He played the role of Fiddler, who was a mentor, so to speak, from a white supremacist point of view, to Kunta Kinte, mm-hmm, who was played by our brother LeVar Burton.
That's right.
But anyway, he starred in many roles in film, television, and theater, including, I did not know this, playing Patrice Lumumba in the 1971 play Murderous Angels.
I didn't know that.
I did not know that either. I would love to be able to find a script and a video of that performance if it's available somewhere. But anyway, I had the chance to meet him once.
Really?
And I have to say, of all the actors and actresses and writers and producers and directors and executives and publicists that I've met and worked with over the years,
yeah,
there is no one who has been more kind and down and humble and encouraging than Brother Lou Gossett Jr. I can say that for a fact. I put that on my life right there. That brother was a true brother indeed. And so there are many people who are mourning his loss, and we add our
great
names
to be missed.
We add our names to that number.
Mm-hmm.
So, Brother LG, rest in peace and power. So the other day, I saw one of the best license plates,
yeah,
that I have ever seen, and it was not the one that said OJ did it. Because I think
everyone in LA has that plate, license plate.
Maybe they
or
do.
Maybe a license plate frame for that.
But this was the actual license plate that said OJ did it. And I'm not talking about that one. So this is one that actually said infinite Sankofaism, but not using those words.
Okay.
It was a license plate that said ADWAX. UM. ADWAX. UM. ADWAX. UM. So, why does that say, dear viewer, dear listener, why does that communicate infinite Sankofaism? Do, 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 do. ADWAXUM. Do 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 do.
I have no idea.
So it actually says ADWA and AXUM.
Ah, okay.
ADWA and AXUM, and so hopefully everyone knows about the Battle of ADWA,
that's
which
right,
is celebrated in Ethiopia. It was, mm-hmm, the battle in which they defeated the Italians,
that's
in 1888,
right,
according to the Ethiopian calendar. So that's what the first half of that license plate is, ADWA. The,
yes,
second half is AXUM, which is actually the ancient Ethiopian kingdom in the early, early Common Era. So started right before then and lasted literally for about 1,000 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first Christian kingdoms in the world,
mm-hmm,
King Caleb, King Azana, some of the famous kings at that particular time. And so, to me, that is one of the best license plates that I've ever seen, the ADWA AXUM. And so, to me, it says infinite Sankofaism, because the brother who was in that car, and it was not a California license plate, by the way, but the brother who was in that car is clearly taking history and heritage with him,
clearly,
wherever he is going.
Yeah.
I mean, to
awesome.
Me, if there's any license plate that says infinite Sankofaism, that is it.
Now, was he driving like a futuristic electric car?
I'm not going to put on blast the kind of car that he was driving, but he was on his way. He was
right,
moving. Well, moving to the degree that we could in L.A. traffic. And, of course, I tried to give him a shout-out, give him some love in the midst of all that traffic, but he didn't understand what I was saying. It's like, the greatest license plate ever. Love it, love it. Of course, he probably thought I was yelling at him or road rage or something, but.
Well, I mean, I'm sure he appreciates the fact that it's a very nuanced license plate, and so not everyone's going to get it, except for you and now all of you.
So I was like, go ahead, brother. That is how you do it. So that was really cool. And speaking of Axum, for those who have purchased Howie, which is the comic book made by our brother Besserat Debebe of Eton Comics, the story of that comic is that there's a present-day girl who, through a variety of circumstances, gets thrown back into the kingdom of Axum, just kind of learn about her history and heritage. And so if you want to see a comic rendition of that or a comic rendering of that, you can see it in that comic book series, Howie, H-A-W-I. You can learn more about that at Eton Comics. All right, so the only thing I have to really say right now is boom, doom, doom. It is time to keep it real. Time to keep it real. R to the double E, real.
You know, dear listener, viewer, we've talked about this a lot, especially, you know, in our, which we haven't done in a while. We need to do this again when we do our little spinoff podcast, Year of Ujamaa, talking about how we can really take and use our economic power to move our community and move small businesses forward. And so we often talk about, you know, it's one thing to do like a one-off purchase or something, and it's another thing to become an ongoing customer of a product. And one thing that we've talked about it before, but actually I brought some with me. I brought some real paper.
That's right.
With me. only for video do I bring toilet paper, sorry, bath tissue, with me.
See, this is the intimacy of the Sky is Black podcast
welcome,
and Sky is Black platform
right here.
Welcome
into our most intimate moments. Yes. But I wanted to actually talk about this for a moment because we're a customer. We're an ongoing customer. We originally bought like the first sample of this stuff at like Target because they had this thing, hey, you know, black owned and everything else. But actually, we love it. I mean, and even if you're not that concerned about that, which you should be, because why? Well, first of all, if you're a member of the Black diaspora, you want to, you know, that's the whole thing of Ujamaa is cooperative economics.
That's
and being
right.
Able to support our businesses.
That's right.
But then secondarily, is that you're supporting a small business. You're not pumping money into the hands, concentrating it into the shareholders and the psychons, and that's me being kind, of Procter & Gamble and things like that. And environmentally, this is great. It's all made from bamboo. And it's not wrapped up in individual plastics. You're not contributing to plastic single-use waste. And, you know,
But no shards of bamboo.
No, you know, no splinters.
No shards.
No splinters.
No splinters.
You know, and actually, I'll read to you what it says. You know, get ready for a feel-good moment, it says here on the back. Did you know that every time you use Real, you are helping prevent deforestation?
Yes.
Well, you do now. With every 100% tree-free, plastic-free roll of Real you unwrap, you're taking part in something bigger. Thank you for choosing Real and making change. So it's made from 100% bamboo. Biodegradable, no inks, no dyes, zero plastic. And not only do they make bath tissue, but they also make paper towels. And I have some friends who actually have given up on paper towels, and we try to use a lot of reusable cloths. We're not like too hippy-dippy about it. But what's nice about this is that this is like sort of select your size. And same thing, once again, the packaging, as you can hear from the crinkling, is all paper, so you're not wasting plastic by unwrapping, you know, a roll of paper towels. And, you know, we've actually been very happy. We've been subscribers to this now for, I want to say, a couple of years. And, you know, because originally it was actually one of the easiest of the things when we did our initial effort to find black-owned businesses. We found, like I said, you can get a sample of the bath tissue at Target. And so because we wanted to try it, and my wife was kind of like, hey, man, you know, don't get too, you know, it's one thing to get like, you know, right on. But then like, you know, this is like really getting into our most intimate private moments.
But that's how we step
and
stomp into the future.
And no objections, no objection from her, no objection from the kids. And it's been great. And what's even nicer, you know, of all of us during the pandemic, everyone was panicked. And now it's like anytime someone sneezes, paper towels are gone and toilet paper gone. We're subscribed. And so it's been like a tiny bit more, you know, than sort of like the bottom shelf bath tissue and paper towels. But no gas.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not having to do that. And more importantly, no time. Because normally we would buy, previous to this, we would go to Costco.
Mm-hmm.
So you go to Costco and you got to wait in line and we got to take the bigger car. And next thing you know, there's all these ancillary things you buy when you're at Costco. And like, you know, look, honey, I bought 3 gallons of pickles, you know, that kind of thing.
Look at these taquitos that
yeah,
I just
exactly.
got. Right.
You know, and so you end up buying all kinds of things. And that's the Costco's business model.
Mm-hmm.
And so net, we're saving money. And we're saving time, and we're saving trees, and we're promoting black businesses, and we're able to walk our talk.
That's right.
And so we've been very pleased with this, and I wanted to bring it here on our new video format, really just to show what it is. I'll even unwrap this one, because we'll leave this behind. You don't need to do too much with these. But ladies and gentlemen, I present to you paper towels. I mean, that's and you think, because you think like, oh, it's made from bamboo and everything else, but I mean, it's in all the right ways. It's absolutely not remarkable. It's just paper towels, and it behaves, and it's just, you know, bath tissue. I will say a silly thing.
Mm-hmm.
If any of you have small kids, don't squeeze the reel.
I'm keeping it real, but I just wanted to sort of demonstrate to people that it is soft, and so they don't have to worry about bamboo, shards, splinters, and all that stuff.
Nothing like that.
Right.
But for those of you who have small kids, they're always saying, they're always like, oh, use old toilet paper rolls, or old, use the, you know, the core, you know, from a paper towel roll. This is a silly thing.
Mm-hmm.
But because of whatever manufacturing they do, normally, like at the end of a roll of bath tissue or end of a roll of paper towels, that little bit, like that little torn off.
Right.
And you have to like get it cleaned off and all that. And it's always kind of messy looking.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever they're doing, thank you. Because for many a craft project, we've had, the little core comes out really clean. It's smooth. You know, it's a nice bath tissue core, you know, whatever that is.
Go ahead, Rio.
And I'm sure it's bamboo and all that, but what's been nice about it is that for those sorts of craft projects, sort of like a truly secondary benefit, tertiary even, whatever, it's been nice because even that's been like a weird side benefit. It's kind of sort of like, you know, get the toilet paper because it's good for your craft projects, but it's been nice all the way around.
So what do you have to say to people about this? Should they consider getting this, or should they get it?
Oh, you absolutely get it. You know, I think that, you know, you can, like I said, one thing you can get at Target, but you can also go online. So realpaper.com, that's R-E-E-L, paper.com, and they give you all kinds of deals and subscribe and sign up for their email and everything else. But I would say definitely do it. And the best part is it's easy.
Is it cheaper to subscribe?
It's cheaper to subscribe than to go and buy it, you know, one off. You can buy it in bulk. And you just don't have to think about it. You don't have to, like, if you don't have a Costco nearby, or you don't want to wait in line. I mean, truly, I have gained hours and hours back in my life. And it sounds silly to be so excited about paper towels. But it's the value of my time.
It's the value of the time. Also supporting this business, too. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, if we all support this business will grow, that creates jobs. And this is not just a Pasadena business or a California business or a U.S. business. This is a global business right here.
It is a global thing. I mean, what's nice is that they're a certified B Corporation. Mm-hmm. So the idea there is that it isn't just about generating profit. It's about, you know, being sustainable and B for benefit, public benefit corporation. And so, you know, they're a nice business.
Yes.
And so essentially all the way around, it's good for our community. Being a small business, it's good for recycling and putting dollars back into local communities. It's, you know, one of us.
I'd love to see a special run with, because they have these designs on here, like most paper towels do, with some Adinkra symbols or with some with the Metonetcher, a.k.a. hieroglyphics. That to me would be very cool as a Black History Month or as a Juneteenth promotion, or just keeping it real.
I think, you know what? And they actually recently came out with facial tissues, the sort of generic Kleenex type thing. We haven't tried that yet because that was something relatively new, and we haven't added it to our subscription, which we will probably do because now we're like an allergy pollen season. And so we're looking forward to trying that as well. Actually, they're, last time I tried, they were out of stock, but only recently have they expanded into facial tissues. So it's all these different paper products. And like I said, it seems a little silly, but we wanted to make sure we showed it here on our video.
Not silly. This is everything right here. This is an important category that if all of us in the African diaspora say, okay, this is our toilet paper, this is our paper towel, this is our facial tissue, that means something. Again,
it moves the needle. We have more of a chance to move the needle.
Grows that business and hopefully creates jobs.
So we can keep it real. Real paper, bath tissue, paper towels, and facial tissues. They actually do, if you're subscribed, it's free shipping and all that sort of stuff. And we've been very happy with it. And part of it is that truly, some people say, oh, bring your whole house into Ujamaa. You know, the whole thing, 110%.
Just the house, bring the whole neighborhood, the whole community. Bring everybody into it. So I know that you're making a joke against the joke that I'm making, but I'm still making it anyway. Bring all that into Ujamaa.
But to me, it's more about what you can do sustainably. And
yes.
What can you do? And it doesn't need to be that flashy or blingy or anything else.
No.
Just do it. And it's just, I mean, we don't even think about it anymore. I mean, this is simply just the bath tissue. This is just the paper towels. And quite frankly, you know, we've done this, like I said, more than a year, maybe even 2 years now. And occasionally we've overshot it or undershot it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And we like have like begun to get close to running out. And it's like, oh no. I mean, of course you actually send a text to re-up your order. But there have been a couple times like going, oh no, I might have to actually go to a store and pay more, and what am I going to do with the plastic? And it's been like, it's actually been a bit of a stressor to suddenly not have it just sort of magically show up. And it's nice because when you have, you know, and it's only been like times like when we were traveling or it was going to come on the wrong day, and so we had to kick it back a little bit, and so it threw us off a little bit. But now it's like it's one less thing to worry about, one less thing to fret about. And if you're in a household that has a lot of different things going on, if you're busy, or if you just don't want to think about it, if you want to think about things that are more important, be better at your highest and best value, then,
well,
you know.
This is a perfect time to be thinking about Ujamaa anyway.
When you're sitting on the toilet, of course.
Yes. While you are deep in thought, that's a great thing to think about. Now, I'm going to ask you a philosophical question. We've talked about this before on the Ujamaa podcast about what actually constitutes something being black-owned or not. So this is such a fabulous product. To me, it is not beyond the realm of possibility that they might get bought out by someone.
Yes.
Or at least someone might attempt to buy them out. If that were to happen, would you still consider this to be a black-owned company, and would you still want to support it with the same enthusiasm?
I actually think it's a good question.
Of course it is.
But, I mean, I think part of it is that, you know, as entrepreneurs go, I mean, entrepreneurs can take a number of different strategies.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a business and just have it be essentially your lifestyle business, you know, and you can be the, you know, the small company or the proprietor of that thing, and it kind of goes. And it can just be a small privately owned company operation. Or you've got this great idea and you want to change the world. And at some point, at least with our current setup economically, that means at some point you've got to dock your business to a larger enterprise. You know, and so
yourself become that larger enterprise.
Right. But even then, you're docking with someone. You know, like, for example, initially, you know, even like the Amazons of the world were using, on the wholesale side, larger distribution channels. You know, they're docking to larger publication houses, things like that, before they became the behemoth that they are now. And Real has done, you know, Real Paper has done something similar to where they, once they got started, then they were able to, you know, we discovered them being able to go and get them through Target. Because it was an unknown, and because my wife was like, I don't know about changing our bath tissue, you know, we wanted to try to sample it. And actually Target, you know, obviously a massive operation, you know, gave us the opportunity to kind of like ease into it. So, okay, well, instead of buying a whole case or subscribing or doing all these other things, we were able to just try a couple of them, you know, and kind of like secretly threw it in there and see if there was any problem or if the kids would complain or anything else like that. And then it's like, oh, great, now we'll subscribe. And so to answer your point, I mean, one, right now, you know, there's two co-founders, and one of them, Darren Oyakhan, he's from Lagos, and one of our fun cities from last time.
That's right.
And the... What am I trying to say? You know, and so they, you know, if you decide to grow the business and spin it up and let's say it gets bought by some other company and then suddenly you have that exit, right? To me, good for you.
Yes.
And I...
But does your support of the company wane at that particular point?
I mean, it sort of depends on what happens. You know, do I want to, I think it's valuable to show the larger companies, much like when we were talking about in our prior episode about, you know, we want to support, and we've got some things to talk about now, you know, about some of these shows that we may or may not love 100%, but we still want to support them because our collective voice in the marketplace can say, you know, we're not going to love everything that's put out there.
No.
And yet we also want to, where possible, and we're keeping it real.
That's right.
We support the things that work for us. And so in your hypothetical, let's say they got bought out, I would say my support would probably level off. Would I suddenly like, harumph, change my subscription and storm off? Probably not.
Or would you look for another black-owned company to put your, quote-unquote, weight behind?
I'm not sure I would actively look. I mean, part of our whole initiative with Year Over Jama is that we were actively looking for things to subscribe to. It was looking for, you know, opportunities for us to be an ongoing customer. And I'm not sure there'd be a bit of inertia, frankly, because we like the product and it's working and everything else. If something were to change, you know, in terms of change of ownership, probably wouldn't trigger us to search again. But if there's a change in product, if all of a sudden the quality were to change, or if it were to suddenly be like, instead of being wrapped up in paper, it was like shrink wrapped or something, if something were to change that affected our usage of it, then that would prompt that search. And I guess as an ongoing customer, would it stop being Ujamaa for me? No. Would I continue to say, hey, you know, you should get this?
Well, it would have
to probably stop being, taper off.
It would have to stop being Ujamaa if it was no longer a black-owned company. Now, of course, you don't have to sell the entire company. Someone could say, okay, I want to buy your company. You could respond by saying, well, let's just be partners then. Why don't you buy a certain percentage of the company and let's build together while still maintaining minority ownership or black ownership.
But also...
No, I can't dictate what, you know, somebody else is going to do with their company.
Right.
But just saying you as a customer and a supporter, if it is no longer falling under the umbrella of Ujamaa, you know, how enthusiastic are we going to be?
Well, I mean, I guess that's the point, is that would we be here promoting this product? Probably not. Would we discontinue use of it? Probably not. At least not actively. And part of it depends on sort of what happened. If the founders, you know, if the company gets bought and the founders stay on and everything else, I don't want it to fail on their watch as an acquisition if they're continuing on, you know.
It depends on what their ownership stake is.
I suppose.
I mean, if it's bought outright and it's now owned by, you know, Bounty.
And then they kicked out the founders, you know, Sure. I mean, it all depends on the details. I mean, this is all very hypothetical. And you know what, guys? We hope you get, you know, whatever exit you're hoping for. You know, good for you. But, I mean, it all depends on what they're trying to do. And I mean,
well, I would love them to be the next bounty and to beat the next bounty. Or not the next bounty, but to beat bounty.
But here's the other thing, though, is that they're starting this B Corporation that's meant to be sustainable. You know, it's not a tree-based paper product. And so if they got bought out by one of the major players, the Procters and Gambles of the world, and then that caused this large operation, you know, P&G, to move the needle a little bit better, you know, that's us as a people making a positive impact in the world. And you know, to where it's less dependent on trees, less, you know, deforestation happening, more sustainable, less plastic. I mean, to me, that's an ongoing impact. And so as I'm thinking out loud here, I'm not sure I would even stop subscribing knowing that they got bought out. I mean, if they are treated poorly and kicked out, maybe something would change. But I think that if that is an ongoing lasting impact, is that suddenly instead of there being, you know, mow down all the trees type of bath tissue versus, hey, here's something more sustainable. And then that becomes more active in the marketplace and becomes a larger wedge of what is done. And it's better for everyone.
Right. But this is better for everyone because it's environmentally sustainable and is the way forward. And so if it was bought out by a true paper company and only becomes a division within that paper company, that to me is not a win.
I don't know. I think, given, especially if that then would allow them to go and scale up and maybe, you know, shrink down the burn down the rainforest type of paper company, mm-hmm. or, you know, chop down all the old growth trees to make bath tissue out of them type of paper operation. I think it's a net win for everyone.
It's a net win for the founders.
Well, and in terms, for all of us, because I mean, if we can shift away from, you know,
not if it props up a true paper company already and keeps them in business longer and makes them more viable, as opposed to supporting a competitor, which is the best, again, most responsible, most environmentally sustainable option.
I won't necessarily disagree. I think that if all operations, if big paper, you know, shipping became more sustainable, that's a win for everyone. If some of our community not only benefits from it, but if we're the ones who are leading the way to that improved future, more sustainable future, I
would love to see the reverse. I would love to see them acquire the bounties of the world.
Sure.
I would love for us to support these folks and folks like them around the world, so that becomes the market, and these other folks are really on sort of the periphery. So, okay, you guys are legacy companies right now. We're trying to move toward the future with something that's sustainable. Why don't we go ahead and buy you out?
Sure.
That's a fantasy at this particular point.
Yes.
But it is not a fantasy if we go about doing what you're doing right now, which is signing up as a member and building the company.
Well, and that's what we're doing. I mean, the bottom line is that we are happy to support it. It's at essentially no damage to us, which is the best part about it, is that, you know, we can do all these things and it doesn't, you know, we're not making any kind of great sacrifice. And in fact, you know, in terms of the logistics of our household, it's a benefit. So it's a win all the way around.
It is a win all the way around. And once they do acquire the bounties of the world and we throw the Adikra symbols on here, that is the ultimate win right there.
Well, then
I would love to see
that. Subscribe. And
yes.
Then we can give them some customer feedback and say, you know, instead of these little hexagons that are on there, octagons, we can improve the patterning of it. Or maybe just for... you can get your Black History Month paper towels.
Okay, maybe there's some fractals going on in here, and I'm not cognizant to it, which is altogether possible. So shout out to our brothers and sisters at Real. Proud of what you're doing, and we will continue to support it 110%.
Yes.
Yay, even 220.
Real
because
paper.
Because if you're doing it 110%, and I'm giving 110%, yay, We have 220.
Realpaper.com. Mm-hmm. R-E-E-L. Paper.com.
Boom. Dum 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 dum. Boom. Dum. Boom. 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 All right, switching gears for a quick second.
Okay.
We said we're going to talk about good times, mm-hmm. which don't feel like good times to me. We talked about this on our last episode, saying that we were very disappointed with what seems to be the direction of this new animated series on Netflix.
Right.
And it turns out that we were not alone in that perspective at all. And so I want to read a couple words from our sister Archuleta Chisholm, who writes with Black Girl Nerds. What's up, fam? If you're not familiar with Black Girl Nerds, check them out at their website, blackgirlnerds.com. So she writes in her article, "We all know black folk have come a long way in real life, but for some reason, media still tells a different story. We've been so busy trying to move forward, we've forgotten the black characters and shows of the past that inspired us, set positive examples for the community, and made us proud to be black. Case in point, Good Times."
Mm-hmm.
Now, looking at the show through 2024 eyes, so many things still stand out to me. First, the Evans family probably had more integrity than any other black family on television, mm-hmm. ever. Now, before you say the Huxtables, I have to say the Evans family was far more noteworthy because they actually had real life or death, how are we going to eat problems. The Huxtables, while they will always be a significant portrayal of affluent black life, didn't struggle like the Evans family did.
Agreed.
Good Times faced poverty, unemployment, discrimination, civil rights activism, gang suicide, child abuse, drugs, alcohol, teen pregnancy, hypertension, illiteracy, and more. Seriously, if there was a social issue, the show brought it to life. The family's way of dealing with these issues always centered around integrity, strength, and family togetherness. So to hear Netflix is rebooting this beloved show as an animated series is different. And so here's the official synopsis of the show. An animated reboot of the Norman Lear series finds the latest generation of the Evans family, cab driver Reggie and his wife, the ever aspirational Beverly, scratching and surviving in one of the last remaining housing projects in Chicago, along with her teenage artist son, Junior, activist daughter, Gray, and drug-dealing infant son, Dalvin. It turns out the more things change, the more they stay the same. Keeping your head above water in a system with its knee on your neck is as challenging as ever. The only thing tougher than life is love, but in this family, there's more than enough to go around. And the last thing that I will say from this is what, again, sort of our perspective is, what disturbs me about the reboot is not so much that it's an animated series, but that it appears to be yet another example of stereotypical portrayals of black life. This reimagining of a TV classic is definitely unfiltered and not for children, which is sad because the original Good Times was something the whole family could watch. Let's just say I agree with most people's sentiments about this trailer. Many have nothing good to say about it. It may have something to do with the strippers, nudity, sex, adultification of black boys, and cursing. You think? And then she goes on to talk about there's a complicated legacy with white producers mm-hmm. producing black content. And, of course, that was and remains my perspective. I'm surprised that Norman Lear has his name attached to this. The Seth MacFarlane piece does not surprise me on any level. Love what he does politically, but in this case, boo.
Yeah, I mean, all I've seen is the trailer.
And do you need to see anything more than the trailer?
Well, frankly, no. I mean, at least in terms of whether or not, you know, last time we were talking about Iwaju and mm-hmm. some other animated shows, we at the top of this show, we talked about Kazazimoto.
Mm-hmm.
And our children are young, mm-hmm. you know, elementary school. And so, you know, we always check things out before we bring it in front of our children.
You have to.
And just as she said a moment ago, you know, you've got nudity and sex and adultification of black boys, which is actually a real issue. And for those of you who aren't aware of this, those in the diaspora know what I'm talking about, but go look it up. I mean, you see it when you've got someone buying Skittles and a soda wearing a hoodie and are treated as a threat, you know, where you've got like a small child in a playground with a water pistol that's treated like a threat, you know, to trained cops. You know, it is an ongoing issue, and anything that promotes that, where you've got an infant drug dealer, you know, and yeah, it's, you know, can't you take a joke? But frankly, it's a joke that's very much at our expense. And it's a joke that, frankly, puts out there things that put our children at risk. And in terms of us moving ahead to the future, that's not the future. I mean, I have to think, and I said this last time when we talked about this, that, you know, in the universe of James and Florida Evans, this is their grandchildren. Those characters are spinning in their graves.
Yeah.
If all this time later, decades later, they're still in the projects and they're still having the same struggle. In some regards, if the infant is a drug dealer, they've actually slid backwards, I would say. And I would say that James and Florida Evans would be very much unhappy with this outcome.
Slipped, stumbled, and backflipped backwards.
So it's not a show based, once again, just on the trailer that I would bring in front of my children at all. And I remember as a kid watching Good Times. Mm-hmm. And while it wasn't, you know, our lived experience, we knew people, it was relatable, and we knew people who were. And so there might be some who might come back to us and say, well, there are people who this might be, you know, their lived experience.
I have family in Chicago. Chicago, stand up.
But I would say that, in terms of like lived experience, that, as you said a moment ago, where people are able to see the love and the integrity and the goodness, and they can bring their whole family in front of a show to watch that and say, you know, because growing up, there are plenty of times when we were struggling, and watching a show like Good Times made us feel like we weren't the only ones.
We were not the only ones.
No, definitely not. Mm-hmm. And so being able to have that thing, it didn't feel like a joke at our expense. And this show feels very much like a joke at our expense. And so I won't bring my kids in front of it. I'm not interested. Mm-hmm. And you know,
I will watch the pilot for integrity's sake, again, because we're sort of smashing this series based upon the trailer, and I think justifiably so. But for integrity's sake, I will watch the pilot and see if somehow or another we got it wrong. I think that's impossible. But again, for integrity's sake, I will watch it just to see.
And just to be clear, I mean, it's like I said, in general, I'm not like anti Seth MacFarlane. I'm not against him at all. I mean, I enjoyed Family Guy. Even though it really wasn't my thing per se, the Cleveland show I thought was kind of had its moments where it was funny. For me, I'm not anti that either. I just simply think that really, decades later, going back to the same tired old well, you know, on this show, we're always talking about people who are leading us to the future. And I think frankly, Seth had the opportunity to lead us to the future.
I think he's the wrong person entirely.
I'm not disagreeing with you. Yeah. But my point is that, you know, when you have a number of successful properties under your belt, it's not like you have to do anything.
No, yeah.
Just to be clear, I'm not disagreeing with you.
He has the creative freedom to do whatever he wants to do.
That's my point. My whole point is that if he's going to do it, he could have made a choice to do something different. I agree with you, just to be clear, about him not necessarily being the right person to do it. Mm-hmm. But he had the opportunity to do it and then basically went back to the same tired well, which goes to your point of him not necessarily being the right person to do it.
No.
And so I'm disappointed that that this got as far as it's gotten.
You just don't do that to James and Florida Evans. period.
Well, right.
You just don't do it. I mean, if you had any respect for the show at all, you don't do it this way. It's totally inconsistent with respect and regard and for the culture in general.
I don't think it moves us forward. So, it doesn't, in my opinion, it doesn't move us in the direction we want to go.
But again, because of integrity, I will watch the pilot just to see. Just to see.
Well, I will let you then, much in the same way that I would watch the trailer so you wouldn't have to,
mm-hmm.
I'll let you watch the pilot
mm-hmm.
so I don't have to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will probably be in a rage.
I've got other things I want to watch. I've got other shows and series to catch up on. So, I mean, come on. I'm only just now finishing season one of Foundation.
That's what I'm talking about right here.
I mean, and I have to say, and my wife's not like a sci-fi person. I'm the sci-fi head in our household. Mm-hmm. And and even she's like, what's happening next? I mean, she's been hooked on this show.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, is almost by contrast, shows us what great television that features us can be like. But you see black people in the future
mm-hmm.
and doing mundane things,
mm-hmm.
which means more than just a few of us made it, but also
like saving the universe, a few mundane things like that.
I'm not even getting to that
nope.
yet.
Mm-hmm.
But then also having, you've got the, I think her name is Lou Lobel as one of the main characters, Gail, in the show, who seems to be taking the slow boat to everywhere, traversing
yes.
centuries.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got Leah Harvey, sort of as the warden. I'm not going to give really any spoilers
Please do not.
But really, the characters have been fantastic. There's a tremendously diverse cast, which was different from the books, which, and it's funny, because I haven't read the books since I was in high school.
And I haven't read the books at all, so how do you think about the adaptation of the book?
I think it's been pretty good. I mean, my memory of the books, because they're thick, long books, Asimov really went into a lot of depth in those books, and so I don't have a strong, crisp memory of them.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I remember the broader premise. The premise, essentially, is that there is this new science called psychohistory where mathematically you could essentially predict, in broad strokes, what the future of a society would be like.
Mm-hmm.
And so the main proponent of this concept, his name is Harry Seldon,
mm-hmm.
and he's a mathematician who then says, well, wait a minute, this centuries and centuries standing galactic empire is going to fail, and we're going to have our whole species across thousands of planets plunge into a new dark ages, and if we have this capsule, if you will.
The prime radiant.
Yes. Of knowledge that can then be the foundation, hence the name, of rebuilding. Then this period of chaos and disorder could be a shorter thing. So he said you can't avoid it, but you could shorten it. And then there are various points along the way, various branching waypoints along the way, where he's able to help steer humankind back towards this path of betterment and enlightenment. And in this adaptation, he doesn't really seem perfectly cleave to the books, because I don't remember if there being like a genetic dynasty or any of that other stuff. I don't remember. Dear listener, viewer, let me know. I just don't remember. But
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. But I think that the adaptation works for me because the basic concept and the basic part that makes you think is like, if you took current psychology and social sciences and ran it forward, a millennia or two, could you mathematically make these kinds of predictions? It's an interesting topic thought-wise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they're very clear to say, well, we can't predict what happens with individuals and individuals, actions. And part of the fulcrum of the story of the TV show is that there's some individuals who, aren't part of the plan and weren't part of the thing. And so, you know, and so that's part of what makes this show interesting is that, you know, there's the plan, you know, we're going to keep to the foundation, you must stick to the plan, and then there's these individuals who fall in love or do different things or, you know, other things happen, once again without being a spoiler. And that makes the show interesting. Mm-hmm. And there are different, like, love triangles and implications and innuendos that make
it... Isn't there a love quadrilateral in there?
There's like, a love tesseract going. I don't really understand, you know, where so-and-so's remembering the affair so-and-so had. I mean, it's got its own little things. And it's science fiction, and it's with modern graphics, and so there's, like, cool big boom and all, and the spaceships are cool. I thought the sky bridge, the space elevator, was a nice nod to Asimov's contemporary, you know, Arthur Clarke, who was the person who actually, he was the guy who came up with the concept of a geosynchronous satellite. He was the guy in science fiction that, you know, the idea of space elevators and things like that, which there are people trying to make these things.
They are.
You know, and so I thought that was a nice, I'm not sure if it was intentional or not, but I thought it was a nice nod to that. And so, and I also, in the cast of the TV show, I really appreciate how many of us are in the show. And, you know, Isaac Asimov, nothing wrong with him, nothing saying that. But I mean, but his science fiction didn't really speak to race that much, or at least once again, my recollection of the book, you know. I'm not sure they spoke about race at all, or if they did, it was so normalized to, you know, to him and to his experience that it didn't, nothing stood out. Whereas here, there are prominent black characters, prominent black roles, doing good things and doing some challenging things, and that to me is part of what moves us forward. I mean, seeing this black woman mathematician who was the only one in
the... You're going to ruin the series now?
It's in the pilot. It's in the first episode. She's the first black woman in the galaxy who's able to solve this equation.
Are you saying that people don't want to see the pilot?
No, you want to see the pilot. It's relevant. So, but she's a brilliant mathematician, and she's the only one in, like, the whole galaxy who's able
brilliant to... Brilliant mathematician, that's it. Brilliant mathematician.
I will say that's it. I love the fact that the only person in the galaxy who's able to solve this thing. No, she doesn't blow up.
Doesn't blow up, but I'm saying that you arguably are blowing up the pilot experience for the people who are going to watch the show. So we want them to watch the show, or at least we think that they should watch the show. I think it's great. But if I just heard what you just said right now, having not seen the pilot, I would not enjoy the pilot as much. So I'm saying up until that particular point where you sort of say, okay, this is the character and she is, you know, a brilliant mathematician who does X, Y, and Z, I would leave it at that.
Okay.
Me personally.
I'll leave it alone. I won't drive any further, but she's arguably one of the top two most brilliant mathematicians in the galaxy, and she's a black woman. And I think that's fabulous. So
it is fabulous indeed.
I'm looking. We just finished up season one,
and season two, I'm telling you, is even better.
Yeah.
Yes, it's even better.
And even some of the other characters towards the end of season one.
The finale of season one is good.
Yeah.
And I had to sort of wait because I saw it in real time. I had to wait, you know, the year before season two came around, so you can just sort of jump into season two tonight if you need to.
Yeah. No. It was really. It was really fantastic, and to have, you know, some of these characters like this priestess, who was a black woman. You know, she was fantastic. She was dynamic, and it was really wonderful to see. I mean, and this is towards the end of the first season. I will not spoil it, but
I don't know.
You're funny.
I don't know.
But to see, she's a priestess,
and
to see her charismatic expressiveness, her dynamism, and she brought the black preacher experience thousands of years into the future. And she, I'm not going any further than that.
Circling,
No. She brought the black church thousands of years into the future. That experience and that sensibility. And the reason why I'm even bringing it up is that... Leave me alone.
I am advocating for the viewer's experience.
I am, and the viewer will love this experience. You'll want to watch the whole first season to get to what I'm talking about, and then, dear listener and viewer, you can tell me if you agree. She brought the Black church experience thousands of years into the future, and I thought she was really fantastic. I mean, her swagger, all the things that she had going. I'm not even mentioning the character's name, so you don't have to worry about it. You'll get to find out when you watch it. You know, but what she brought was, and I'll just say it, it was so Black. And this religion that I won't spoil the episode by talking about was not that, and yet it was. And so I thought that they did a wonderful job. I thought they did an absolutely wonderful job of it and allowed it to be very clear that we arrive in the future without being, you know, because this is a whole different conversation. Look back a few episodes when we talk about how I feel about the Star Trek transporter, which I will never, if it ever is invented, I will never take. Unlike future scenarios in science fiction where we're disassembled and then reassembled in someone else's imagination.
Mm-hmm. Get out.
Well, yeah, seriously. We'll talk about that some other episode too. But rather than it being disassembled and then reassembled with maybe a Seth MacFarlane filter or something, you know, that makes it to where, you know, our blackness does not remain intact.
Mm-hmm.
I think that character, so watch the whole first season towards the end, you'll see what I'm talking about. She shows up in the future with her blackness intact. And I think that's fabulous. And I think, you know, whether you agree with all the different things going on in the show or not, I think seeing these characters act and live in a space that is very real or feels very real, I think is absolutely wonderful. And I can't wait for season two, which mm-hmm. we'll probably watch some of mm-hmm. this weekend. Mm-hmm. Even my wife. Normally, mm-hmm. what's funny is that normally we watch TV shows, even though we're behind, because I think they're waiting for... season two's already out. It's available on Apple mm-hmm. TV Plus. Mm-hmm. But we occasionally will, like, you know, we're usually behind on these things. And so we watched all of season one, you know, week. And a couple of times we doubled up and said, okay, well, let's watch two episodes because, mm-hmm. and it's hard normally for my wife to want to do that. She's like, no, I'm tired. I want to go to bed or whatever. But I know she's into it. She's like, yeah, let's go again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so
even with that Stanford education, she's still able to discern.
She knows good television.
Yes.
She knows good television. And so definitely check it out. It's on Apple TV Plus Foundation. And, you know, right now they've had two seasons. Both seasons are about 10 episodes, I believe, each. And shout out, by the way, to Bear McCreary. He's the one who did the soundtrack. He was the guy who did the original, I shouldn't say the original, but he's the guy who did the reboot of Battlestar Galactica, which I also thought was absolutely fabulous.
Did not see that one.
Oh, they did like 9 seasons or something, but his handling of the music of that mm-hmm, series, mm-hmm. I thought was really fantastic. The short version is, you know, we all remember the 70s Battlestar Galactica, you know, Cylons are everywhere. It was reimagined kind of in the George W. Bush era where, you know, you don't know who's a terrorist and who's not. And so the Cylons now look like humans as well. And so you don't know who's a Cylon and who's not and who's going to suddenly, like, you know, kill you and who's not. It was, I thought it was great television. Had its moments where it got a little wobbly, but I thought it was great. So, and the music I thought was really fantastic. So, shout out to Bear.
And the actor who plays the Black preacher that you're referring to, she also is in The Diplomat, which is also on Netflix. Great series. Mm. Recommend that one highly as well.
Fantastic.
The chief of staff in that series is fantastic. All right. So we both enjoy the series. How does it necessarily move us forward? Are there any lessons? Is there anything in your estimation that we can take and build with?
Well, without getting a bunch of sound effects from you?
Oh, the sound effects will be there if necessary.
I mean, the fact that you
always going to keep it real.
I think having these strong black characters doing things that are, once again, story contrast to the other show that we were talking about earlier, you know, they're doing things that are not stereotypical. They're being brilliant mathematicians, that are being engineers, that are being, you know, maybe a little bit stereotypically fierce, because the warden character is definitely fierce, and yet being also brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And I think that it moves us forward in the sense that it isn't just a unidimensional black character. The black characters aren't living on, you know, the black planet,
mm-hmm.
but they're kind of everywhere, and they're, once again, in mundane ways and in very specific and powerful ways. And I think that it's wonderful. And I think that the lesson for us is that we can make it to the future with your blackness intact
and the black planet.
I'm sure maybe in season two, there's a black planet, and, you know, right on, you know, because the food will be good. But
I think that's a great title for a series right there, just Black Planet.
It's probably been done.
Omar Wasso, stand up.
I think part of it moves us forward in the sense that it goes back to almost, and we've talked about this before, things being almost mundane. The fact that it's a diverse cast isn't like, oh my God, she's black, but more like, okay, great.
Jim, she's black.
Yeah. Jim, she's black. You know, mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I think it's the fact that it's just very matter of fact, and to me, that, I mean, what the characters in that world remark more about is like, oh, you're from this planet, as opposed to, oh, you're of this, you know, ethnicity, mm-hmm. of this race, mm-hmm. and to me, that, you know, that very sort of like still mundane aspect to it, I think is fantastic.
I agree.
And you're going to make a sound effect when I say this in just a second.
Okay.
So.
Woo!
And there are black people swimming. And having their hair still look great.
That's right.
I hate the
black people can't swim thing. Even though there is a reality of some black people in the new world not necessarily swimming. So if you read the book from Kevin Dawson, Undercurrents of Power.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about the fact that when Europeans first came to the motherland, that they were astonished by how well black people could swim, because at that particular time, swimming was not a big thing in Europe. It was considered to be something that you just didn't do. You don't go right into the water splashing around and diving underwater and doing those things. It was, at that time, you wanted to be, quote-unquote, more refined and kind of move slowly through the water and gently through the water. And so when they went to Africa and saw, you know, black people swimming and diving and doing all those kinds of things, they were literally astonished. And so this idea that black people can't swim and that Europeans are the swimmers flies and splashes in the face of history.
Well, right. And I mean, and there's so much of the spiritual life coming out of Africa that has, you know, aquatics and water involved in it, and being in the water and being of the water.
Yoruba mythology, stand up.
Right. And so, anyway, so sound effects notwithstanding, I mean, mm-hmm. it was wonderful to see that. And, you know, once again, arriving in the future with all of our blackness
mm-hmm.
intact. Mm-hmm. And so,
swimming suits and all.
Yeah. And so I think it's a great show. Definitely check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, Foundation on Apple TV Plus.
Go ahead, Apple.
You know, and this show is the kind of show that we like to promote. frankly. Yes. You know, we like to promote shows and artists and entrepreneurs and creatives who are moving us forward. I mean, on this podcast, Sky is Black, that's what we're all about. And so we'll talk more. Well, you know what? I think sometime in the future we'll have a spoiler heavy. In fact, let me finish. Let my wife and I, we'll finish up season two, and then we'll have a spoiler heavy. So your homework, dear listeners and viewers, is to go catch up like we are. Go catch up on Foundation, because in a month or so, we'll have like the spoiler heavy. And you'll know what I'm talking about with that preacher woman. But we'll have the spoiler heavy episode talking in depth about Foundation. And maybe I'll even go see if I can find like the cliff notes of the book and compare a little bit. Actually, I think I have a hard copy of the book like in my garage somewhere, like an old dog-eared copy. But
go ahead, Double A.
We love stories like this that, that move all of us into the future in a positive, forward-thinking light.
Yes.
And so we hope that you'll give us your feedback. Watch Foundation. Let us know what you think. You can reach me at anton@skyisblack.com.
And you can reach me at bfrancisclark@skyisblack.com.
Of course, skyisblack.com website, or recollect.media/skyisblack. And then on Instagram and Twitter, X, whatever, it's skyis
_ B to the L to the C to the K.
And then on Facebook, it is...
No, _ B to the L to the C to the K.
That's skyisblack, BLCK. And so please feel free to reach out to us. Let us know what you think. Let us know what other shows we need to have in queue. Like I said, we're a little bit behind. But
Supercell. They clone Tyrone.
That was a great movie. We'll talk about that too. I had a lot of fun watching that movie. That was really great. So, Sky is Black. Intact.
Yes. Sky is Issa.
Her too. Yeah, Sky is Watchmen.
Sky is Meme.
Sky is...
Sky is Miracle.
Sky is Harry Seldon.
Sky is Good Times. When they really are good times.
Seriously. Sky is Adwa Axum.
Yes. Sky is Infinite Sankofaism.
Sky is
what
Black.
What the hell?
Sky is Black.
Sky is Issa.